Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Lofty Entrepreneur Podcast. I am Tanisha Coffey, aka the Lofty Entrepreneur. Thanks for joining me. As always, we are providing the best tips, tools, advice, and inspiration for aspiring and new entrepreneurs out there. So if you haven't already done so, click now to subscribe so you do not miss a thing. Now on today's show, we have Women Action Takers Mastermind founder, Linda Sunshine West, and she is one of the most noble people I have met. She has one of the most noble missions I have heard of in quite some time. She is set to help 5 million women to share their voice with the world. Now, she is one of my mentors and has certainly been a catalyst in my life to help me to strengthen my voice as a professional in this world. So I am super excited to have her here on the show today. Hi, Linda. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, Tanisha. I'm excited to be here. You know, it's interesting when somebody says my mission, I realize how grand it is. It's kind of funny. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yes, I can do it. I can do it with your help.
You are doing it. I mean, you know, I probably can imagine, I know you have thousands of people who are literally following you. And honestly, you know, when you speak, a lot of times there's always all these little nuggets in there. And so if I'm having a 10-minute conversation with you and I'm getting two or three nuggets that kind of hit me and stay with me, I'm not the only person, you know? So, you know, across the board, I undoubtedly know that you are well on your way to accomplishing that mission. 100%. 100%.
Awesome. And one thing that, you know, somebody asked me the other day about that number, 5 million, and it's through the ripple effect. It's not that like I myself, one person at a time is going to help. So, you know, when we make a positive impact on people, it's a ripple effect, and it, you know, hopefully it carries through to their life. And then if they have children like you do, then you know, hopefully it carries through to your children, which carries through to their children. And, you know, we don't have to keep the same cycle of life that our parents had. We can change that. And I'm definitely a testament to that. And it's through those changes that I've made throughout my last just only, you know, 6.5 years in my life, started at age 51, you know, that those changes are affecting me, but they're also affecting those positively around me.
Right. And that's actually where I want to kind of jump into it, because for me, I think a lot of people go through life and they get used to doing this one thing or these two things, and they kind of just settle. And even though they may not be quite happy with all that they're doing, all that there is, they think that they can't just change and shift, but you have done that. And I know that you haven't always been an entrepreneur. So I want to know kind of where were you? What happened to make that kind of major life shift where you said, you know, I want more, I deserve more. And I kind of want to know what happened to kind of put you on that path, and then what gave you the courage to go for it?
Well, I was in the corporate world for 36 years. And during those 36 years, I had 49 jobs, you know, so obviously I wasn't really happy working at places. And by the way, I never got fired from a single job. So these were all choices that I made to leave every single job. And it was, as I look back on my life, at the time I didn't realize this, but as I look back on my life, it's because I either got bored or I felt underappreciated. And so there's somebody listening right now, if they're working a 9-to-5, they're feeling bored or underappreciated, and they might want to leave, but not want to risk leaving, you know. And that's, I think that the thing there is that it's really about the risk that we take. And the fact that I've had 49 jobs, which means I've gone through a lot of jumping and leaving and going through different fears that I might've had. But the thing is that I never really had any fears about leaving a job. It's because I was so like out of my mind at that, whatever job it was, that I just couldn't stay there. I'm a kind of person who, like, I love learning and I love growing. And sometimes I would stagnate. I'd get to a job and, you know, a couple months later, I would feel stagnant because they didn't challenge me. There was nothing about the job that challenged me. And so as an entrepreneur, I think a lot of us, you know, we're crazy like that, right? We don't want to just settle for anything. We're always looking for something better, something that I can do better. Was the difference here. So with entrepreneurship, what happened was I was driving to work one day. I was working for a judge in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and I was a secretary. I had been a legal secretary for 20 years. I worked at 7 law firms. And then I ended up working for this judge who happened to be the number 2 judge in the entire circuit, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So I made it. I was like, oh my gosh, I got here. This is the job. That was the ultimate job I could get. That was the one, right? And so I was working in this job and I just was so bored. I was so bored every day. I was like, oh my God. And it's crazy because, you know, sometimes what we think something is going to be isn't. And how many times has that happened in your life where you've gotten to the point that you did something, you're like so excited about it, and then you got there and realized that this isn't all it was cracked up to be. Well, that's where I was. So I was driving to work one day and I was just starting to ask myself, I was 51, I was asking myself that question, what's my purpose? What's the whole purpose of this entire planet? Why am I here? I don't have any reason to be here. There's no value that I have to offer. And I truly felt this about myself, that I didn't have any value. And that stems from my childhood, growing up in a very volatile, abusive, alcoholic household. My first husband was, you know, like my dad. I married somebody like my dad who was abusive. And I carried all those first 21 years of my life with me every day. Like it was this baggage I was carrying around. So when I was saying that to myself, like, I have no value, I have no reason to be here, I truly believed that. I look back now, I realize I did have value, but that was what I believed. It doesn't matter what the truth is. What matters is what I believe to be the truth. And I think this is something that's really important for us to realize, is that people can think things about us all the time, but what do I believe to be the truth? And I believed I had no value. I believed I was stupid. I believed I was ignorant because that's what I had been told. And I chose to believe those people.
Right.
So anyway, I got to work that day and there was a message from this lady, random lady, I didn't know her. And it was on Facebook and it said, I'm a life coach. I took some time off. I'm getting back into it. And I'm looking for 5 women who want to change their life. And I was like, this lady is talking to me. So I raised my hand and I went ahead and said, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to work with this life coach and see what happens. I don't know what's going to happen. So at the end of time working with her, I was like, I'm leaving my job. You know, it was kind of like that, one of those epiphanies that led me to that point to say, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to try entrepreneurship. I heard I can become a millionaire in a year. So I'm going to do this. Well, that didn't happen, but I heard it.
but you believed it. That was part of what helped you to not be fearful and to go ahead and take that leap. And you had gotten to that point where you said, you know, what I'm doing is not worth it. It's not, as you've told me many times, it doesn't feel good to you. And so, you know, I think that's powerful just in recognizing that. A lot of people are afraid to recognize it, to verbalize it, and then let alone to act on it. So I think that's great.
Yeah. It's like that intuition, right? We have that intuition thing that sometimes feels in our gut, sometimes in our throat, and we feel something's weird, something's amiss, something's weird, you know? And it's really time for us to look at it and listen to it and say, you know what? It's right. I need to change my focus. And I'm not telling anybody to quit their job. I'm not saying that at all. What happened was when I quit my job, now I didn't have any retirement. I had 49 jobs. You do not build a 401k when you're jumping jobs every, you know, 7 or 8 months, you know? So I didn't have, it's like a pension or anything like that. But what we did have is my childhood home. And I told my husband, I was like, we're selling the house. And he said, no, we're not going to sell the house. Cause he had a positive connection to my parents. I didn't, I had a negative, you know, growing up in that abuse. And I said, you don't understand. I'm selling the house with or without you.
Right.
Because I was not going to go back to that type of job. That was my decision. And fortunately he said, okay.
Right.
So
right.
We sold the house. We sold it in a week and we ended up buying a 28-foot fifth wheel trailer and we sold 85% of our belongings and we moved into this trailer and became campground host in San Diego, which is where I live, and became campground host so that we would have zero expenditures. Like we did what we thought we could do or thought we needed to do in order to make it so we'd have as little outgo as possible so the proceeds from the sale of the house could last as long as possible. That was the thing. And does that sound scary to some people? Yeah, it does. But you know what? When your heart is in something, you just go jump in full feet forward, because it's time to change. It's time to change. Don't live your life with, you know, regrets. Don't live your life with regrets.
I think that's amazing, because I think that's one of the things, again, that keeps people where they are in those different situations. They think, oh, I have to keep my house, and, you know, I have to do this, and the kids have to be in all these activities, and I have to, you know, have someone come clean my house. I have to be getting my hair done. I have to. They try so hard to hold on to all these material things that they think they have to have, and they're so worried about what other people will think if they don't have those things, that they stay in that misery. They keep putting themselves through all these different unnecessary, you know, hoops, all to hold on to something that they don't even really want. So, I think that was absolutely courageous to, you know, to do that, because it's a hard thing to do, but once you kind of get into that space and you do it, there is, I think, a level of release. You know, not as much responsibility. And then, yeah, you had a plan. You know, you didn't just, oh, let me just sell it and, oh, let's go, you know, a big trip, you know.
That was kind of what I did, because I didn't know who I was going to serve, how I was going to make any money. I didn't have any clue at all what I was going to do after we sold the house.
Right.
And it's just interesting as I look back, I remember one of my friends, she said, you always look like you're so happy no matter where you're living. Now, we were living in a 28 foot fifth wheel trailer. That is small. You know, it's just me and my husband. And one of the things that I did as part of our job, because we, as campground hosts, you work 20 hours a week. And my husband and I split it up 10 and 10. So I mowed the lawn every week. And like, I got on this John Deere tractor and I mowed the lawn and I just loved it. It was my favorite part of the whole job. So I would do videos like, here I am mowing the lawn and having so much fun. And people were probably thinking, what a nut job. But you know what? I loved it. I was having a blast. So my friend, she's like, you just always look like you're having so much fun. And I said, that's because I am. And I, you know, it might seem like a simple life, and, you know, we're not living in a mansion or anything like that, you know, but we're living, and I have zero regrets for what I've done, because I love what I do. You know, as you mentioned at the beginning, you know, my mission is to, you know, to positively impact and share the voice of 5 million women. And just for me to get to that point, first of all, I first start off with 5,000 women. I said 5,000, 5 is my favorite number. So 5 is my favorite number. So I said 5,000 women. And then I read this book called 10X by Grant Cardone. 10X everything, 10X everything. So I went to 10X it, and out of my mouth came 5 million. Well, 10X is 50,000. It's not right. 5 million. So I weigh like what did I, 1,000X'd it, and on accident, but I said, you know what? That's the number. Mm-hmm. That's the number. So anyway.
Well, and they say, you know, because I'm familiar with Grant Cardone and some of his concepts. And one of the things that they say is like, you have to reach further than what you really think you can do, because you may not always make it to your actual goal. But if you reach further than what you think, you will actually go farther than what you thought you could do. So
reach for the stars and shoot for the moon or something like that.
Something like that. I'm not even going to try it, but yes,
yeah.
that basic concept. So I want to know, you said, okay, so you sold the house, you weren't sure what you're doing. You're doing the campground host. And where in there did you finally figure out, I am going to start, you know, mentoring and coaching and serving women? How did that come to be?
Well, how that started was I was in a mastermind program, and there were so many things that I felt like were missing, so many missing holes. And so first I decided about 6 months after going through that program that I was going to create my own, and I was going to take the things I loved about it and dump the things I didn't like about it and change all that stuff. So I started doing that and doing you know, the mentorship. I've always been a mentor ever since I was young. I was always mentoring somebody, but to move it into like a business type of arena was different for me. But I just started doing the mentoring and the masterminding with women because I love the concept of masterminding. Again, I just felt found there was some holes missing in what they were doing. And so I wanted to fill those holes. And I think that's a part of entrepreneurship. We see something is like, oh, how many times have you said like, oh my God, I hate the way they do this. Well, entrepreneurs will say, I hate the way they do this, so I'm going to fix it. Mm-hmm. But other people will say, I hate the way they do this and complain about it. Right. And so there's for me, one of the distinctions between an entrepreneurial mindset versus a non-entrepreneurial mindset is we see problems and we're like, I'm going to go fix it. And I'm going to, you know, do what I can to make it better. I'm going to find somebody to fix it or what have you. So anyway, I started doing that and I've done the masterminding since about 6 weeks and 6 months into my business. And you know what? It's not a straight line. I have twisted and turned. I have lost a lot of money. I had one event, my very first event after, because I love putting on events. I lost $70,000 from my first event. I didn't, tuck in my tail and go back home and go back to a job. No, I said, here's what I'm going to do different next time.
Right.
And I didn't let that scare me, because the thing is that those who persevere, those who keep moving, those who keep figuring out the mistakes and keep moving forward, those are the ones who are successful. It's not those who try something once, they fail and they're like, oh, I can't do that again. I suck or whatever. It's those who keep on pushing forward who are going to succeed. So, I still have a long ways to go on my journey, but it did take about 5.5 years for me to really hone in and get clear. So clear on my vision that I know what it means and what I need to do to get there. And that right there, man, 5.5 years of lots of ups and downs, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. I feel like I needed to go through all of that in order to be able to understand my clients better so that I could serve them better. And I truly believe that.
And, it's funny because over the years, there are things that I learned 5, 7, 10 years ago. You're amazing the things that you kind of stuff in your head and you take in, and yeah, that experiential learning, there's so much to be said for that. But there were things that I learned 5, 7, 10 years ago that I wasn't able to implement at the time, or there were certain things. Like I remember I was trying to create online courses before online courses were a thing. And literally, I remember at the time when I was first trying to create them, the tools just were not as simple to do them. There was no Coursera and Thinkific and Udemy and all these, different platforms, or if they did exist, they were not as prevalent. And so I think that's hugely important to kind of say to yourself, okay, if something didn't work now, doesn't mean it can't work later. And if I massively bombed this thing, what the heck did I do wrong? And did I do anything wrong, or was it just the wrong time? And so learning from all those mistakes, though they're hard to take, those lumps and bumps are hard to take as an entrepreneur. And it does take a moment sometimes to kind of pick yourself up. I've had many a days where I question what I'm doing. I question whether I should continue doing this, whether I should, break out, the computer, go Indeed, Monster, LinkedIn, whatever it is, and, try to find something else. And then as soon as I sit down to try to do that, somebody calls, hey, can you help me with such and such? Or, you get that email that comes through and, a person says, oh, thank you so much for doing things. And then it reminds you, it's like, okay, like you were saying, I do have value. I can help people. I can do this. I do have this place. And so, I think that's a huge thing to remember as an entrepreneur, as you're building your business, because I think even the people who are far, far in their careers, they go through some of the same things. They get to a point where they have to decide, is what I'm doing still working? And is it what I want to be doing? And if not, how do I shift?
Yeah, so. I think the important word you said there was decide. right? Because when we decide is when we make an, it's called an incision. So we're cutting off something to do something else. And so if you're at that point where you're starting to doubt yourself, your entrepreneurial journey, maybe you just need to make a tweak on something. Maybe you just haven't figured out the thing that's going to make you money. But I know there's something that I do, like I'm writing collaboration books and you're in the Fearless Entrepreneurs collaboration book. And I absolutely, hands down, love every aspect of the collaboration books, from the very beginning of talking about it to the sales process, to the marketing process, to the coordination, like every single bit of it, I absolutely love and I'm damn good at it. And so this is something in my business where I've just realized, it was just yesterday, I had this epiphany that this is where I really, really excel. And so moving in that route, and then, because I have a mastermind, is to tweak my mastermind in a way so that my mastermind is centered around writing books, your own books or being in collaboration books, but have it so that everything that I do is centered around the same thing. Now, by writing these collaboration books, this definitely helps me get me to my 5 million women that I'm positively impacting because people are reading your story. You know, so this is, again, this all really plays into my mission, my vision, who I am, what I'm all about, what I do best, what I absolutely love. So for me, the thought of quitting that, even if I wasn't making any money in it, the thought of quitting that would be like, oh, my heart just loves that so much. Why am I giving it up? Right. So it's the decisions that we make, and we make a decision, we make an incision as well sometimes. So like when I left my job, right, I made an incision to cut that job out and to move forward. And so decisions are so, so vitally important, but then we got to stick to those decisions when we know it's in our heart. It's something that we're really meant to do. And oftentimes we're not balanced enough yet on that foundation, or we have a soft foundation. So if somebody says something, they just knock us right off. So we have to really build that foundation so strong, that foundation of who we are, what we're all about, what we do, how we serve people, how we make money. It's so strong that no matter what anybody says, you can't knock me off because no, this is what I'm doing, period.
Right. So we're running short on time, but I want to get from you, I want to know, what do you tell that person? How do they go about having that belief in themselves so that when they do get knocked down, they're able to go ahead and stand back up and keep stepping forward?
Yeah, that's a toughie. I spent a lot of time, energy, and effort on that. You know, I worked with my life coach, and she was the one who started to open up my mind to see that I have value. So can you do it yourself? Maybe. I don't know. I wasn't able to, you know, I didn't even try to do it myself because I didn't even know where to start. But my first recommendation is to find somebody, whether it's a life coach or a business coach or what have you, but find somebody who will ask you those tough questions and then really explore the answers and figure out those answers, because deep down inside of you is the answer. You might just not have the right question being asked to answer that question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me today, for sharing your story. And again, once again, excuse me, inspiring me, just kind of thinking through and reminding yourself. I think it's huge. People forget that it's your life. Like there is no wrong. It just is. And life is your experiences and what you choose to make of it. And I think you reminded me of that today. And hopefully, that's one of the huge takeaways that the audience has as well. Real quick, I want to know, so let people know how they can get in touch with you. If they're interested in learning more about you and working with you, go ahead and let everybody know that.
Thank you so much, Tanisha. This has been awesome. I love these topics. I just get very passionate about it. But you can find me at Linda at Women Action Takers. And that's Linda with a Y at womenactiontakers.com. Email me or my email. I'm sorry, my everything is Women Action Takers. You can find me on Clubhouse, on Facebook, on LinkedIn. You can find me everywhere, Women Action Takers.
Yes, she literally is everywhere. She's like the queen of collaboration, but not just with her books, for everywhere on social. So she is truly amazing with that. And because she is so amazing with that, I am going to take a couple minutes and I am going to beg her after we get off this call to come back for another visit. But that time I want to delve deeper into the business side of things and see if we can get some more golden nuggets out of her to help me, to help you guys. So I'm going to go work on that. Everybody who's watching and listening, please remember to subscribe, so you can keep up with videos like this and you can learn your tips and tools. And be sure to look out for that next interview because I'm going to get her to do it. I have faith. I believe. Thank you.
Yeah, twist my arm.
I know. I don't want to have to. I might send you some chocolate. Little Birdie told me you love some chocolate. So that might be what I'll do. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you, Linda. I will chat with everybody soon. Bye.